But you know, we've been in a series that we started last week. But we're going to take a quick little reprieve, a little jump off the series. We want to take a moment and just look at the current times and find some encouragement in God's word with what's happening in our culture, in the world on today. If you don't know, today is, for those that may see this later, today is November the 8th, 2020. November the 8th, 2020. And as the world, we just found out yesterday that we have a new president-elect, that of Joseph Biden. And in addition to that, we have some more history that was made. The fact of Kamala Harris, she's the first American woman of African descent as well as of Asian descent woman to be elected as the Vice President of the United States of America. So no matter what your political preference is, that is still history to be made here in America, for we all are very familiar with what has happened to blacks in America and American history, and Asians in American history. So that is history that has been made. And in partnership with that, there are still a lot of things going on in rhetoric that's being spoken and things that are being clamored around that I want to encourage you today, those that are listening to my voice, that no matter what people are saying, and even some of these voices are some of our siblings, they are men and women that have made the Lord their Savior. But I want you to be very aware, to be very sensitive to what God has to say about the current situation, how God speaks to us in all of our present circumstances. And we have to be very careful of how people will use the scriptures to validate what their preferences are. And that is demonic by itself, to take God's word to validate what we want God's word to validate. And so it's very important for you and I to make sure that we're listening to what God is saying, reading God's word, and partnering what the Spirit is saying to us with what the Spirit has already said. So we do not have the liberty to make up anything. We do not have the liberty to take God's word out of context to the original context of the audience that the scripture was written for and apply it to what we have going on today. Yet there are truths in God's word that we can grow and learn from in our current situation. So I want to encourage you that all is not lost. All is not lost. God still holds the world in his hands. And for those of us that live by faith, we find peace in that. For here we are at another crossroads here in America, where you have the choice to take a turn to the left or to the right, to lean toward hope or despair. You can make the choice to go of being joyous or devastated, one or the other. But I declare you the truth of God's word that, again, God is still in control. And if you cannot find peace in that as a son or daughter of God, we need to have a separate conversation with you. Because no matter what's going on, God is still in control. There are some of us, some of our siblings that are putting out there that the world is coming to an end because of the presidential race. Now, I want you to know that the world has been coming to an end since sin came into the world. So we're nowhere closer because of the presidential race than we were before the verdict was given. Sin enable the world to be coming to an end. And what happens here in America, as powerful as America is, doesn't speak to what God is doing in the world and for the earth. And yes, God is sovereign. So God allows us to make decisions. And so when we make decisions, we cannot say that God is in this decision or not in this decision if the decision does not bless us. So we have to be very careful that we do not allow our disappointment in our siblings, in what they say, what they have done, to distract us from what God is saying and what God is doing. There are three major things that continue to divide God's church today. I just want to put this on the altar of your heart. Three things, so jot them down if you want to. Race, religion, and politics continue to divide God's church. Race, religion, and politics. And my dad would say it like this. My dad would say religion and politics got together and had the illegitimate baby of racism in the church. So my counsel this morning is not for the world at large. My counsel and my charge this morning is for the Christian church. Because if we had been doing our part for years and years back, I do not believe the world would be in the condition the world is in today. So for those of us, talking to siblings now, that prayed and prophesied amiss, shut up. All right? What we have now done is that we have allowed our preference about politics and positions to speak louder than God's word out of our lips. And if we are tasked as children of God to reconcile mankind to God, it's going to be hard for some of us to reconcile anybody, because what we have said louder is our political preference versus the word of God. That's the mandate for every believer. Every commission in the Bible, from Matthew with the Great Commission to to Mark, the teaching commission, John, the sending commission, Acts, the global commission, is all of us going out and preaching about turning one's heart to God, or teaching about turning one's heart to God. And if that is our responsibility as believers, as we are God's representation here on earth, we cannot speak loud about every other subject than that subject matter. And as one Facebook personality would say, shut up. For the question that I have to raise to us this morning that I want to put on altars of your heart is this, and this is also the title of our sermon. The simple question is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? There's a beautiful psalm, a beautiful song in the Hebrew hymnal in Psalm number 16, verses 1 through 8. And I'll just read verses 1 for us, the question has to be answered. Where do we go from here? Now, listen, this is not a part of the sermon, so let me just give you a quick note from my heart. We're not going to go backwards. That's what we're not going to do. And that's what you have to have a conviction and a sure foundation about, that we're not going to go backwards. We're not going to allow ourselves to be distracted or dismayed by the rhetoric, by even our siblings. We have to keep our face forward and our eyes on Christ, because God still has a plan. I was listening to some things. You have to be careful listening to watching all these videos. But there are so many people that were praying to some spirits, to bring some spirits up. And the spirits cannot vote. So we're bringing some spirits into this thing. Even a young man that had a book said he heard from God about and prophesying about what God said to the world today. Yet the only problem with that, as well as some of the prayers that we prayed, is that the prophecies might be demonic, because these prayers are also demonic, because we're prophesying and praying for something. and we're not prophesying and praying for the will of God. So we have to have a problem. And even the young man with his book, I thank him for writing the book, but if it's so important, why are you selling the book? Give the information away. I have some concerns about the church. I have some concerns about how we have allowed the, whatever your preference is, I have it, but it cannot speak louder than what thus says the Lord. All right. And that's my story, and I'm gonna stick with it. Because we have to now figure out as the body of Christ, how do we balance our disappointment in our siblings? How do we find balance when our brothers and sisters are still out there spewing a lot of things that doesn't partner with the Word of God? And we've got to figure out and know how we're going to respond to this. Where do we go from here? There in Psalm 16, verse number 8 says this. I keep for the sake, let me see, where am I? I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. The Message Bible says like this in verse 7 and 8. The Message Bible says, the wise counsel of God gives when I am awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Verse 8 says, day and night I stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go. As the body of Christ, it's going to be very important for us to make sure that we stick with God in these turbulent times. When David, the background of this scripture is, David is in a moment of dismay and trouble. And in his dismay and trouble, David makes a confirmation with his speech about what he's going to do in the midst of his trouble. Here we are today. No matter who would win the presidency, I told us on last week, you got poop in both hands. You just have to decide on for the next 4 years, which poop are you willing to deal with? For as believers, it is not our task to partner with politics. It is not the responsibility of the church to find a political party to have peace with. We are not of this land. We are of a different kingdom. So we cannot find peace with politics or even with certain politicians. Our peace is with God and God alone. Are you walking with me so far this morning? And so David writes this psalm in the midst of trouble. And if you do research on this, no one can specifically say which moment in David's life he was having trouble when he wrote this particular psalm. But what we do know is that David was dealing with some trouble. And David says to us some very interesting things that I want to put on altars of your heart, and we go down on this place, from this place. In verses 1 and 2, the word of the Lord says this, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Where do we go from here? Write this down if you we continue trusting in God. That's where we go. If your faith is not firm and founded before trouble comes, you're going to have a hard time having some faith now that trouble has arrived. So it's very important for you, my brothers and sisters that are listening and that are watching, to make sure that your hope is in the Lord and in the Lord alone, because if it's not, you may be swayed by the next post that comes out from somebody that you trust. You may be swayed from the next post that comes out from that preacher that you have been following all these years, and you don't realize that he's posting out of his bent towards a political party and not really hearing from God. We got to be careful that your life, your heart is with God. So when you hear or read something, the Spirit of God in you starts chiming and say, I know you've tried, but don't listen to that one. That one's kind of got some flush on it. It's my grandmother. Not no flesh, but some flush on it. That's not accurate. The Message Bible says, keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you. I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. Can you all, would you all just journey with me for a moment to understand that there are so many people, so many of our siblings out there talking and saying things that don't make sense, but because it's from that source that we have valued, we keep listening to it. And we are making decisions about what we're going to say next based off of somebody that's not walking currently with the Lord. And there are people that are listening to us saying what somebody else has repeated instead of us already putting on the table what God has already said. And we're leading a generation down a dark path. And then we go back, quote more scriptures. What we do, not you because you're watching this one, but some folks, some of our siblings, they say what they want to say, then they put a scripture at the end. And for those of us that love the Lord, when we see scripture, well, if they put your scripture, they must be right. No, they ain't right. Everybody's not right just because they saw a quote of scripture. Listen, the devil knows scriptures. The devil knows the word more than we know the word. And so just because somebody quotes something from the scripture doesn't mean that what they're saying is true and valid. But you have to know that. You've got to know that it don't fall in the quicksand with folks just because they look like they know what the word says. Uh-uh. The devil told Jesus, the devil's crazy, trying it on Jesus. In Matthew 4 and 4, he said, turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, listen, man shall not live by bread alone. You know this. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the devil would try this on Jesus. You know he'll try it on you. Don't try me. Because I throw spiritual hands. All right. So where do we go from here? We have to continue trusting in God. This is not the season for us to turn our eyes away from Jesus Christ. 2 Samuel 22, 3 through 4 is recorded by saying, God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my savior. From violent people you save me. Verse 4 says, I call on the Lord who is worthy of praise and have been saved from my enemies. We take refuge. We take refuge in God and God alone. David writes in Psalm 121, verses 5 through 7, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. James comes around in the New Testament. It says in James 1, 2 through 5, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may by nature and be mature, and complete, not lacking anything. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. David announces this with a statement of faith. He's looking at verse 2. He says, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Listen, everybody. If God doesn't give it to you, you ought not take it. If God is not the anchor of the blessing, don't you receive it from anybody. Because without God, you have no good thing. You may have something, but it's not a good thing. And many of us have been satisfied with having something and not God's good thing. We have been satisfied by having something of the applause of people, something of the partnership with the culture, something to have the government to give us some money for something. But I don't want that something if it's not God's good thing. So we have to find and have peace in whatever God delivers to us is what God wants us to have. And if God doesn't give it to us, we ought to say, I don't want it. Because if somebody else gives it to me, had a child, it comes with some strings that you cannot afford. Your children's children cannot afford the decision you're making today to take something instead of God's good thing. We got to move on. But if we're going to answer the question, where do we go from here? You have to continue trusting in God. The word continues to speak to us. Look at verse number three. It says, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after gods, other gods, will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. If we are going to answer the question, where do we go from here? We must continue trusting in God's sons and daughters. You've got to be willing to trust your siblings. You got to do it. Now, listen, you got to understand that some of our siblings are walking right. Some of our siblings are walking wrong. So we cannot find peace in the siblings that are walking wrong. We don't stop loving them, but we cannot listen to what they say. All right. Yeah, like I made this verse up. I'm going to read it again. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. So David says, I find delight in some of my brothers and sisters. They are noble, meaning they are right with God. And David, in the midst of trouble, celebrates his brothers and sisters that are walking right. But in the same breath, he says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. So David is saying, I am not going to spend any time with you and fellowship with you because you're living foul. The standard for every believer is still the same thing. If you Exodus chapter 19, you know it, 19 and 6. We are supposed to be living what? Holy. Y'all got it right. 19 and 6 says, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to Israel. It is important for us to live a holy lifestyle. So that means we do not partner even with our siblings when they're living unholy. It's 2020, and we're still offering passes for disobedience. It's 2020, and we're still giving people another pass for another false prophecy. It's 2020, and we're allowing all kinds of people to grab the microphone in church, say all kinds of stuff that do not partner with the Word of God. If you prophesy wrong one time, shut your mouth. You don't get a second pass. I saw a video, y'all. You got to watch these videos. And God bless his heart. He was honest. He said he was wrong with his prophecy. I receive that, and I bless you, my brother. I give you forgiveness, but don't you prophesy in my God's name anymore. All right. See, I'm okay. My wife drove me to worship today, so she's going to take me home. Because the truth is the truth. Why would you continue to listen to somebody that leads you wrong? All right, look at what David said. David said, I will not pour out libations. I won't give you anything. I'm not going to sacrifice now. I'm not going to go into a festival not one time with you because you're living foul. And he says, he goes on to say, to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Y'all, David was so for sure about this that he would not even say the names of these false gods. See, what we have here is that David had confirmed his loyalty to God and God's people that were living right. Did you hear what I said? David confirmed his loyalty to God and to his siblings that were living right. See, the problem that we have is that we confess loyalty to the wrong groups of people and the wrong small g God. We have confessed our loyalty to people because we hold up the same banner. Back the blue. So now if I don't have a back the blue banner, you don't think I back the blue. So we hold up the banner of Black Lives Matter. And if I don't have a Black Lives Matter sticker on my truck, then you assume that I don't believe in Black Lives Matter. Do y'all, can y'all notice that I'm black? So that within itself ought to tell you. All right, well, that's another. Okay. So now we have allowed the culture to push us into a corner to make us make a decision on what it is that we raise. The devil is a lie. The banner that we raise is the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever that puts me in what you think about me, I deserve to be there. I want to be there. Because there's only one banner that I raise, and that is the banner of God. Go to Romans 16, verses 17, 18. Paul says this. Now, Paul writes, we got to be contextually proper, everybody. Paul writes this to the church of Rome. Yet there's something here that we can learn from of how the Romans were dealing with some things. The church in Rome, he said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles, my grandmama would say obstacles, in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have heard. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving the Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Now, I know Paul wrote this for the church there in Rome, but it sounds like America. We find ourselves because we love personalities. We love the charisma of people that we follow them. Online, we order all the tapes and books. Listen, I don't have a problem with that. But if you're listening to other folks more than you're listening to God, Houston, we have a problem. The young man that wrote the book about the prophecies that God told him, it's cool, write the book. But he said in his script, you need to get this book to hear what God says. What about the doggone Bible? Why got the Bible book that you wrote, you heard from God, instead of reading what God wrote with the own spirit of the living God? We got to have problems with this stuff, you all. Now, if you write a book, write your book. But don't tell anybody you need to write this book as if this is what God says over what God already said. That's where the problem lies. Go to Jude number four. Go to Jude verse 4. He says, for certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Listen, y'all, you got to be careful. Just because you like certain personalities, just because some of these people are cute, they're real nice, you got to watch it because they'll slip in and dip something in your Kool-Aid. And you mess around, you have an IV with it. Forever drunk with lies. Because you gave in to a personality, some charisma, and you were not listening to what God was saying through the word of God. You know, where are we going to go from here? We have to come to the place that we're willing to trust our brothers and sisters, our siblings, that are living right and speaking what thus saith the Lord, not what thus saith my personal bent. You've got to know the difference. You can't call the preacher, some preacher. You can't call somebody that you know that reads the word and ask, well, what you think about this? No. You've got to know within your own heart of hearts, your own spiritual chiming system ought to go off when somebody says something like, wait a minute. Can you show me where that is in the Bible? All right. Because some of us still think that God loves America more than he loves all the other places he made. As if the Bible was written for Americans. All right. Listen, if we're going to answer the question where we go from here, here's the next thing. We must continue trusting in God's security. Verses 5 and 6 says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Wow. So here David is saying, listen, Lord, you are not only my refuge, but you are my security. You have given me an inheritance that's far greater than I could even work for all my own. We got to be careful, my friends, that we in this American culture, we work to retire, as if that makes sense biblically. In ministry, since our life is ministry, we never retire from it. God just moves us on to another location. Right, right. And so David says, David was not looking for assistance from anybody. David found his hope and his allotment from God. So in his distress, David was not searching for help from anybody else. David in distress found his help in God. Since we're in this season of, we all have stuff going on. We got COVID. We got to deal now with the residue of this presidential race. You have other stuff going on in your body, your mind, your family. Your help is not going to come from any other source. Your help comes from the Lord. And if you're not at peace with that, you're going to have a hard time for the next week, the next few weeks, the next year and a half, because COVID is not going anywhere. You're going to have a hard time wrestling. Do I leave the house? Do I stay? Can I walk outside? Can I go? Trying to figure out, what do I do? God is your security. You make wise decisions based off the information you have, and you be wise wherever you go. Just don't go anywhere licking doorknobs. You'll be all right. Put your mask on. Give everybody about 10, 15, 30 feet. Walk in, walk out. You'll be all right. God is your security. Yeah, and wash your hands. Wash your hands. God is your security. And you've got to find peace in this, everybody. Are you with me? If you're on online, Facebook, send some emoji, pray, say, I'm with you, Mecca, understand. You have to find peace in God's kind of security. Not the security that the world tries to offer. You all, we have to have a problem with our churches wanting to remain in good relationships with politics. We have to see that there's a problem there. It was the church and politics that got Jesus killed. He was killed with the marriage of politics and religion. And yet we're trying to stay in good favor with politics. It's not, you all act like you haven't read the end of the Bible. You're trying to maintain a relationship that is not real. All right. We got to continue trusting in God's security. David said this. David said, in a nutshell, David said, God is all I need. God is all I need. Now, you got to come to the place, my friends, where you are so sold out on knowing who God is that you're not even looking for any kind of help from anywhere else. Some of us are praying for another stimulus package. Lord, please send it. Really? I mean, if it comes, I'm not going to turn it away. I ain't going to turn it away. But I'm not waiting to see. I'm not spending my money banking on another package coming. That's foolishness. God is all we need. He has given you the mind to make good decisions about what we do with our money. Our security is in God and God alone. Finally, verse 7 and 8 says this. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him, my right hand, at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Listen, I'm done with this one, I think. If we're going to answer the question, where do we go from here? We must continue trusting in God's strength. We must continue trusting in God's strength. David realizes that in the midst of him needing help, who God is to his life, David decides to praise God. Huh. That's something interesting there. In his distress,
David says, I will praise the Lord. Huh. I believe that there is still the possibility for us to praise God in the midst of upheaval going on around us. I believe we as the sons and daughters of God must make the conscious decision that we're going to praise God no matter what. Now, it won't make sense to those that are living by faith. It don't make sense. Why are we praising God with all this mess going on? It don't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense because I'm not praising for them. I'm praising God for the understanding of who I know that God is, that he is my present help in my time of distress and trouble. And we have walked long enough with God that we know that God is there with us. And we're not looking for the help from the government or anybody else, because the help that we have from God says that my siblings will come to my rescue. Is that not what the first church did? Acts chapter 2. They gave to all those that had need. By Acts chapter 4, there were no needy among them. God came through them. And we're banking on the government to come through for us. And our government has shown us that there will always be strings attached to it. But we're trying to maintain our 501. So if the government partners in anything that sounds like a Christian idea, that's what we're going to go with. Many of us are really not pro-life, we're just pro-babies. We just don't want to see innocent babies killed. And listen, I don't either. What sense does that make? But if you happen to be a person that voted for Biden, does not mean that you are for killing babies. And so for all of our siblings that don't think that, stop being so silly to put your brothers and sisters in a category that just because they voted for Biden that they believe it's all right to kill babies. Nor, if you are a Democrat, should you be so silly to think that because they voted for a Republican that they are in support of everything that Trump has done. Yeah, we got to have some balance with this thing. And just because you didn't vote my way, you're not my enemy. You just voted differently from me. Woo! Because the problem is, in the church, we are a house that is divided. So we cannot allow our disappointments and our brothers and sisters, however they voted, to stop us from having our hope and praising God together. That's why we got to ask God, send a revival around here. We need a time of renewing and refreshing around here. Because we have allowed ourselves to become divided and separated about something that's not even biblical. But if somebody gets up here and preaches something that's out in the Word, we just, well, all right, we'll give them another chance. No, shut it up. So it doesn't matter what it is. As the body of Christ, we've got to stand together. We've got to stand together. Listen, standing together also says that we have to hold one another accountable. Because the fruit of your life speaks more and louder than how you voted. I don't care if you voted Republican, Independent, Green, Republican. Doesn't matter. God really doesn't care. I'm going to say it again, and I hope I get somebody going to say something. God does not care, because God has entrusted you and I to make wise decisions. People have said, well, whoever wins, that's who God decided to win. God doesn't care. God is sovereign. So we cannot walk into the sovereignty when it's something that we like. And then we don't walk in sovereignty when it's something we don't like. Either God is sovereign or God is not sovereign.
Some of y'all married somebody, and at the time you say, oh, this God told me. But then you the one got a divorce. So who lied? Who lied? Who lied? I don't know. I don't know who lied. Now you said God. Now you sat down there, and you made all these vows. You look in the eyes and you just wanted to get that dress off. You just wanted something. God told me, oh, she's the one. Now you got a divorce. Now who lied? I don't know. We blame a whole lot of stuff on God as an escape goal for us to make another dumb decision. We've got to make sure that we continue trusting, not in our strength, but in the strength of God. David realized that in the midst of all that's going on, that he needed the help that only God could provide for him in his moment of distress. Listen, in our moment of distress right now, some of us, the wisest thing we can do is turn off the TV. Turn it off. That's the wisest thing some of us can do. Stop watching these videos, including me. That's the wisest thing we can do, because we get out those videos and we heat it up again. You doggone Christians, get on my nerves. We mad all over again. We ready to spit fire at somebody. So the challenge is, and the sad part is, some of us have talked more about politics than we have praising God. We're supposed to be praising God in all things and for all things. But we have talked more about policy than we did spending time praising God. You've got to know that God has a problem with that. That our rhetoric has been more about stuff going on in our circumstance than the God that has the world in his hands. The psalmist writes in Psalm 42, in the midst of despair, he instructs himself to have hope in God. He says, I will still praise him. You all, we got to have this kind of still praise in our hearts on today. We got to have this kind of still praise in our lips on today. That no matter what's going on, I will still rejoice in the Lord. This is a determination. As David looked into the eyes of his despair, he makes the conscious decision that no matter what's going on, I will still praise my God. We got to go home, but I got to ask you a question this morning. Will you still praise God? Will you still magnify your God? Will you still lift your Savior in the midst of all that's going on? Have you made a conscious decision that for God I'll live and for God I'll die? Blessed be the name of the Lord. David says here, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. So y'all get this. David was living so right with God that while he was sleeping, God was still ministering to his heart. Do you understand that David's conscious life and his subconscious life was walking with God? That even while he was sleeping, when he was in the midst of his most vulnerable place, God was still ministering to him. The sad thing for us is that we have the television on that's ministering to us in our sleep and not God's word. And we wonder why we wake up in the morning and our blood pressure is high. David said, even while I was sleeping at night, y'all didn't make it. He said, my heart instructs me. My heart was encouraging me, because David figured out if I hide God's word in my heart, even when I cannot speak it, it rises up inside of me and it instructs me, it leads me, it guides my dreams. Yeah. I will praise the Lord, he who counsels me. Even at night, God was counseling, leading David's heart. Finally, it says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Listen, y'all, we got to go down from this place. But as we are going through whatever we're going through, if we really trust God and believe that our life is in the hands of the God of the universe, we shall not go through the trauma, because we will not be shaken. Hallelujah. This is the hope that we have. There's so many people that woke up this morning topsy-turvy, trying to figure out, what am I going to do? The world is coming to me, and the sky is falling. We serve the God that allows us to have an unshakable life. No matter what's going on around us in circumstances, God is still in control. And if you don't have a firm foundation on that, you're going to go cuckoo in a little while, because there's too much going on, too many questions out there that you don't have answers for. But our hope is in the Lord. David said, I will praise the Lord. So in the midst of you having troubles, in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of all questions that are being asked and you don't have an answer for, you've got to have the declaration that I will praise the Lord. In the midst of circumstances that have been out of control, you got to go ahead and make a determination, in fact, on today, that no matter what happens with my spouse, in my home, with my parents, in my body, I choose to praise the Lord. And I want you to believe, my brothers and sisters, it isn't your praise that's going to help you get out of this. It's not you having the next argument with somebody. Somebody want to get us online so we can go back and forth. What about this? What about that? You cannot out-talk foolishness. But what you can do is learn how to praise God in the midst of. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So instead of arguing with somebody, just tell them, instead of us arguing this morning, can we just praise God together? Instead of us going back and forth, can we just put different salutations of God online this morning? I'm not going to waste time trying to fuss with you, but I am going to praise God with all that I have. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and not just the things he did yesterday, but everything he's done for me, there's something that comes out of me this morning. My soul will make a boast in the Lord. I have made the determination to praise God in spite of everything that's going on. I will praise the Lord. You say, Mac, why? I'm glad you asked the question, because he has allowed me to live an unshakable life. No matter what you might say against me, my world will not be shaken. No matter how many darts you throw at me, my world will not be shaken. No matter if you take my words and turn them around and make a meme out of me, I will not be shaken. Why? Because my hope is in the Lord. My hope is not in the hands of man, but I praise God because I know who God is. He is my security. He's everything that you need in this season of life. God is. So I challenge you on today, instead of giving in to all what the naysayers are saying, find your peace and your hope in God. Don't give in to the rhetoric. God is all you need. You know why? You know why God is all you need? Because early Sunday morning, the prophecy was finally fulfilled. He rose from the dead with all power in his hands. And it's because that prophecy has been satisfied that we can now praise God in the midst of turbulent times. Because that prophecy has been satisfied, we can now raise our hands and tell the Lord, thank you. Because of Jesus Christ. So where do we go from here? You have a choice to make, my friends. You're at a crossroads. You're at a crossroads. You can choose joy or despair. You could choose spewing a lot of false narratives. Or you can choose praising the God that you know that lives. We can't go backwards. Can't go backwards anymore. We got to keep on pressing forward. We got to keep on going ahead of keeping our eyes on the Lord. Not looking back at what it used to be. Paul says, I press. I press towards the high calling. You have a choice to make, my friends, today. What will be your choice today? Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. and we love you. And we give you all the glory and all the praise for all that's happening now. It did not come as a surprise to you. We don't know if the Supreme Court's going to overturn anything. We're not looking for the government to give us any kind of hope or peace. Our hope is in God. It's in the Lord. Period. We're not looking for it from anywhere else. From God and through God alone. So, Lord, we thank you for the clarity of your word on today, for giving us a chance to make another choice today. So we choose you. If you never asked the Lord to be your Savior today, this is your opportunity to put a period on that, that you have made God your choice. With your eyes closed and your heart open, the only difference between those of us that live by faith and those that do not is that we have supernatural help. And that help comes from the Lord. We're not going to repeat these old mistakes again. We're going to continue trusting God. Being everything we need today. If you never ask God to be your Savior, and you want some answers to some questions, email us at info@discoverworldchurch.org. If you want to come by the building, we'll be here for another hour. Love to pray with you. But you've got to trust God. Don't give in to anything that anybody says. You just don't want something. You want God's good thing. Choice is yours. Walk in the newness of God's today's revelation. God, we thank you today.